It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from Lighthouse Hockey and the Fans First Sports Network. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me on this Tuesday evening, moments after the Islanders lost 6-3 loss in Carolina in Game 5, is my friend Mike Leboff. And Mike, the Islanders season is over. It's been tumultuous, to say the least. We're going to focus on this game and this series in this short emergency episode. But the way this season ended was very emblematic of the way the season was played the entire time. Bad luck, sloppy play, lack of urgency, sporadic defending, some gumption that made you think, hey, maybe these guys had it, but ultimately they didn't. And the Islanders are going home one game earlier than they went home last year to the same opponent. And we are left with a lot of mixed feelings, bad feelings, some trepidation about the future. Where are you right now, immediately following, again, the 6-3 loss in Raleigh in Game 5 to the Hurricanes?
Yeah, I'm pretty sad because this season's over. It doesn't matter, but I thought that the Islanders actually played okay despite the circumstances. It became really obvious pretty early on that this wasn't going to be a normal, straightforward season. and we've talked so much about what that does to your psyche and right. And how you feel like you're almost owed something, right? Yeah. Like for sticking with it. The Islanders pull out a playoff spot and you think, you know, the payoff has to be there. The hockey gods owe us because of the craziness of the season. And it turns out like the opposite happens, right? Like you're not owed anything. In fact, you are ridiculed by the hockey gods that they left in our face tonight. The the fact that this game could even possibly be emblematic of a season, so crazy, is so, the chances are so remote that one game can capture all the craziness, the roller coaster, like you said, the gumption. Like, it took every chapter of the Islanders season and threw it into one 60-minute game of hockey. Mm. That is hard to fathom. And it's I think it's really hard to like kind of come to terms with. So I understand that a lot of people probably are in bad spots right now. I'm in a bad spot. It was a pretty rough night to watch, and the Islanders give up a bad goal from Varlamov to start the game. Then Wes McCauley makes a terrible call on Fasching, ends up in the back of the net. Like, I mean, it's everything. I'm going to go right through it, right? Yeah. So you get a bad goal. You get a soft goal, which has been an issue for the Islanders with the goaltending this season to start the game. Then you get a bad penalty call. The team goes on the power play. Of course, the Islanders can't kill a penalty because they're the worst penalty kill in the league. So there, check that box. Islanders fight back. Power play goal of their own from Mike Riley. What a pickup he was. Check that box. The Hurricanes end up getting another goal because of a penalty shot.
You're right.
From Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Right.
Who crawls in, does the, the Kuznetsov turtle crawl thing and whatever. And you're just like, so that the first period ends with the Islanders down 3-1 on a penalty shot goal from Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was basically out of the league.
Right.
With the Washington Capitals, somehow finds his way to scoring a huge goal in a series against the Islanders for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right. Oh, wait, before you go on, the penalty shot, by the way, was caused by Alex Romanov putting his hand on the puck in the crease while the entire team scrambled to keep the puck out of the net, basically.
Right.
So again,
yeah, he saved the goal. And, and I was like, wow, he saved a goal. That was, you got to take the penalty shot there.
Hmm.
And then, and as soon as I said that, I was like, oh, well, he saved a goal, but we know that this is going to go in the back of the net anyway, so it's not even going to matter. So, yeah, but then the Islanders come back, right? They play a good second period. They fight back. They get a goal from Brock Nelson, timely goal from Brock Nelson, and then they get a bit of good luck. And Casey Zizekas in the first line scores. Barzal had a really good game. I thought he was awesome in that second period, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, my God. This team just has, they're not going to quit. Like, this is a team that just refuses to die.
Right.
And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we don't know. And
it's a whole new game at that point. It's 3-3 after 2. Whole new game. Win a period, win a game, continue the season.
Win a period, win a game.
Right.
And you're in the intermission, and there's no option but to feel good because the Islanders scored a goal with less than a minute left. To tie the game up, they had the Hurricanes on their heels a bit, and that continued into the third. The Islanders played a pretty good first few minutes of the third period, and you're starting to think that they've got a chance to steal this one and get back to UBS Arena, but then the hockey gods just I mean, it's almost like time stood still for both those goals, because they're the first one was a little bit easier to kind of absorb because that's a play that happens throughout a season. You get a bounce off of a block shot. It didn't help that when they showed the replay, like, it wasn't just that the bounce went right to Jack Drury,
right?
But that, like, it. Someone, whoever blocked it with their skates, it short hopped JG Peugeot's stick.
Yeah, he swung at it and he missed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically. And lands on Drury's stick. He scores and a goal that, a tough one to save, but you probably want Varlamov to make that save, whatever. So while you're still processing that horrible luck, you then get somehow that bad luck gets one upped. And this isn't to complain about luck or anything. This is just to process what just happened, right? Like, I'm just trying to, it's over. Like, there's nothing you could do about it. So we're all sitting there watching that game. We're processing that in an elimination game in which the Islanders had fought their way back from already being already allowing three in really strange kind of tough luck goals. You know, the penalty shot, the soft goal in the first minute, and then the bad power play goal because of the bad call by Wes McCauley. So you're now processing a fourth one.
Hmm.
And I don't care who you are. For me, I was like, it just can't get worse than that. and the fact that I've had that thought so many times as an Islander fan in my life, and I've had that thought so many times in the season, but it's still natural to do it. Like, I, even though I know that I've been proven wrong an umpteenth times, that it can get worse than that when you're an Islander fan, and it can get spookier than that, and it can get weirder than that. You still think it. So I was thinking, okay, like, they got to just find a way to take a breath and show that resiliency. Patrick Wild loves that word.
Right.
And they didn't even get an opportunity to take a breath.
Nope.
Because a puck hits a stanchion, the post, to Stefan Nason. And that's it. Like, the Islanders were valiant, I guess, in their, like, fight back. I would not have blamed them at all for just skating off the ice after that. Honestly, like, that was a cruel, I think cruel is the only word that you could describe how that game played out. And so then all this happens and you're processing all this, and you also have to come to grips with this, the fact that these two teams have now played three playoff series. And what happened tonight fits perfectly in line with it. The Islanders are now 3-12 against the Hurricanes in playoffs over those three series. And if you looked at, like, a fair score line, I think 9-7 in favor of the Islanders is fine. I think you could say, 9-6 or 8-7 Islanders, or 7-8, whatever you want to do. But the Islanders are going to come up short, like, 3 or 4 wins at the very least. And that just kind of tells you what sports are. Like we're not owed anything. We're not owed those wins. We can't just, they're not just going to come back and fall on our lap in, they're not guaranteed to do that in a future iteration. Right. So coming to grips with this game on top of all that baggage with this playoff matchup. And then, you know, and we have so much, we'll have a lot of time to dissect the offseason. Then also processing, well, this is it for a few of these guys. It's a guarantee that the team changes, because the team always changes at least a little bit. I mean, it's, I guess, pretty heavy stuff. That was a lot to take.
It was a lot to take. And most of that was in the first period. Like, the first period was a lot to take. Like, it was just like, what, how many different things could happen? The penalty shot was a special kind of surreal that certainly would only ever happen to the Islanders. And the fact that it was, of all people, Evgeny Kuznetsov, the guy who's, everybody loves his penalty shot, you know, slow motion thing, until it happens to them. Like, you know, we've seen this guy play with the Caps for so long. We've seen that kind of shot before, and it happens all the time. And, oh, it's unstoppable. Okay, well, if your team had to play this guy 6 times a year and you saw that all the time, you wouldn't think it was that cute, right? But that's like you said, like you've been saying, we are not owed anything. And I think a few things are true about this game and this series. Were the Islanders the victims of horrible luck? Yes, they were. Were they the underdog the entire game? Yes, they absolutely should have been. We talked about that before the season started. Were they designed to play a style of hockey that lives on the margins and makes comebacks like tonight's very difficult? Yes, they were. Yes, they are. I mean, they just are. And that's where, again, we're going to come back on Sunday, and we're going to talk about the offseason and what changes. And we got a whole summer ahead of us to talk about that kind of stuff. But, like, this team, you know, showed a lot of fight in coming back and tying that game. They could have just packed it in. They could have lost. It looked like it was going to be 56-0. I thought, when they were down 2-0, and then Riley scores, and then you were like, no, 56-1. You know, we joked about that, but, like, they deserve credit for fighting back, much like they deserve credit for making it to the playoffs. Like, you know, they outlasted five other teams to get here, and they deserve credit for that. Patrick Waugh deserves credit for that. But ultimately, you're looking at a team that is not the you know, fastest team in the league, not the smoothest team in the league, not the crispest team in the league. Not they, their penalty killing is got better, but it's still pretty lousy. They're, you know, they're reliant on goalies to make a million saves a game to have a chance. And when one of them gives up a couple of bad ones, like Semyon Varlamov kind of did tonight, or like Ilya Sorokin made in, you know, game three, they're cooked. And it's hard to for them to fight back. JG Pageau had a couple of tries in the third of these weird off angle shots. Anders Lee had a, you know, kind of a couple of jam plays there, didn't go. It is very hard for this team to produce offense when they play the way that they do. And it needs a reset. And it's also true that, by the way, that the Hurricanes were the all-time worst matchup for the Islanders in these playoffs. Like, these are things that are almost out of their control, but there are things within their control that they did not do. And again, I'm watching a team this entire game that still can't make a clean pass, still can't break out of their zone cleanly, still can't establish any kind of, you know, cycle effectively, consistently. They just can't do it. They don't forecheck really that much anymore. And Carolina had a couple of plays where, you know, they were just shooting from anywhere, as they often do. And it's just, it's the toughest part for me is balancing the bad luck like that, you know, the fifth goal, the Nason goal that literally came off the backboards. That's like a play from the old odd in Buffalo where they used to kick the Zamboni door and it would shoot the puck back out to Pat LaFontaine or Alex McGillian. That's a long story. Like, that's bad luck. But the fact that you can't break out of your own zone and you can't establish, you know, a cycle more than, you know, once or twice in a period, that's on you. And so that's where it comes from. Like, yeah, it sucks that the season is over, but so much more could have happened. And there's still so much meat on that bone that we will never see. And this has been the tragedy of this entire season. This is why it's been such a terrible season and a hard one for all of us. We just want so much, and we feel like there's so much more in this team, and we just don't get it. And now it's over. So what are we going to do? We're going to sit and think about those questions for a long, long time now, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're right. Like, the Islanders just aren't built to win a game where they have to come back a couple times, and it's been that way for a while, and they need to find a way to fix it. And I think, like, the issue that is kind of emblematic of that is that like, the Islanders played most of the series with Hudson Fashing as their one of their top six wingers, right? Like, all due respect to Hudson Fashing, everybody coming into the year, everyone's like, well, this guy would be a great kind of upgrade to Matt Martin on the fourth line, guy who could be your 12th or 13th forward. But he ended up being either healthy scratched or playing on the second line. I know he ended up playing on the fourth line a bit with him and Holmstrom flip today, but yeah, like, other teams aren't deciding between Hudson Fashing and Simon Holmstrom to play alongside, like, their Brock Nelson, right? Like, right. Those spots are reserved for guys like Nick Ehlers, even on like a team like Winnipeg who had a good season, but nobody thinks Winnipeg's like one of the best five teams in the league. But you look at those top sixes on these teams that are, you know, in kind of in the same universe as the Islanders, and they don't have Hudson Fashing, right? Like, that's what killed them. And that's to your point. Like, you wonder what could have been, because this team was at the same, you know, it sounds contradictory to say that this is also one of the most talented Islander teams that we've ever seen, right? Definitely. And despite that, so it's such a tough, frustrating conundrum, and it's really hard to kind of come to grips with all of it, you know, right after they lost, and you're trying to process it, and you know, that the team is obviously going into an off season where they have to shake it up a bit, and they will shake it up a bit, at the same time, like, I can't help but feel that this whole season felt like it was leading to a moment And the only way to keep yourself to engaged and believing and seeing like the good side of sports, which is hope and whatever, was to be convinced that, oh, the appropriate ending for the season is somehow like the Islanders go on a run that nobody sees coming. They click into gear and they become the badass Islanders that we saw in 2021. Cause that would just be hilarious. They just endured just this absolute cyclone of a season. It spit them out into the playoffs. I feel like we're owed something here. What we ends up getting owed was just more of that, in a smaller sample size. So it's just trying to process all of that in one is tough, because it's gonna make the next season, like, it makes it hard when you think there were so many people who are like, oh, what's even the point of making the playoffs, and if we're just gonna go in there and get our get pantsed by Carolina or whatever, because those thoughts will come out again next year if it's like. If it follows a similar, I thought that the Murphy's Law season was, you couldn't replicate that one. This one, I feel like if the Islanders replicate this season, which was kind of like just a more exaggerated version of last season. I don't know how there would be any fan base left. I don't know how anyone can go through it. Yeah. So, and in order to avoid that, like, there needs to be changes and stuff. Yeah. So, that's just like thinking about all this and it's hitting you as Seth Jarvis is scoring an empty netter. And the worst part is that, like, you're looking at Carolina, you're like, you guys need to fucking play better next round.
Dude. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, because another thing that drives me crazy about this series is that Freddie Anderson can be beaten. This guy is not 1975 Ken Dryden. Like, this, he's the amount of pucks this guy saw from the Islanders was minuscule compared to the amount of pucks that Varlamov and Sorokin, frankly, saw from the Hurricanes. The Rangers on the power play are going to eat this guy alive. Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, what are they going to do when they just aren't getting saves? I don't understand. And again, as I texted a friend of mine who's a big Rangers fan, he actually had more faith in the Islanders beating the Hurricanes than I did. I was like, yeah, that's going to be 7 games of which team can cry to the refs more about getting power plays, because that's the only thing that they're going to do. And in the race between Anderson and Shesterkin, I mean, come on. Like, what are we talking about here? The Hurricanes are the all-time worst matchup for the Islanders, because as much as I hate the way they play, the Islanders play in a way that is not conducive to consistent offense. Like, how many times do the Islanders get flat-footed from a pass or can't handle a pass? I mean, that you just talked about that empty net goal, it's all because Nelson just couldn't handle a pass from Dobson. Like, it's this team needs a refresh. And again, I don't want to get too far into the offseason stuff, but like, there are too many guys falling into too many bad habits on this team. That's what I see over and over and over again. They might have a game plan. We saw under Watt just before the end of the season, like, they had a new game plan, and they played differently than they did under Lane Lambert. But then they just fall back into these habits where they're just passing to no one and just not moving it quickly enough. And just, there's no breakout. There's no nothing. And then, you know, sometimes they kind of figure it out, and by that point, nothing happens and it goes back the other way. It's just they don't. There's something about this team, and we've talked about being rotten. We've talked about them playing like assholes. We've talked about them just, you know, a series of rock bottoms. We've talked about all of this stuff in ways to describe how just terrible this season has been, a waste of time. All of this is just basically saying they need more than vibes alone. They can't be doing like trying to extract blood from a stone anymore. They have to be able to fit with, you know, play against these teams that are going to come at them in waves on offense. They just don't. And they used to have a defensive game plan that prevented those guys from scoring, but they just don't anymore. And they need to change things up. And I just, that to me was the biggest mismatch in the whole series. Was just they couldn't put together any prolonged, even in the games they played well, it was more about counterpunching and like just trying to keep the Hurricanes at bay rather than kind of pushing things in a, you know, sustained way that they would just carry over and over and over. They just barely did that. So I can't, if this team is substantially similar next year that it was to what it is this year, I'm with you. I don't even know if I can take it anymore. Like they have to find something that produces offense so that a bad bounce off the back boards with 13 minutes to go isn't a death sentence. You know what I'm saying? Like this, they can't do this anymore. They used to, the vibes used to be fantastic, and they used to run on half on vibes, half on strategy. You can't do it anymore. You gotta just be able to score goals. I don't know how else to put it. This was not a fun season to watch. It was not a fun series to watch. There were times that were fun. Hey, watching Matt Barzal score in double overtime from Robert Portuzo was a lot of fun. But overall, man, I would not give this season a high rating. Let's put it that way. If this was a podcast, I would give it a half a star rating on iTunes. You know? I don't even know what to say.
It's, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. Like, and I think that's what the theme of the off season is going to be. But you just kind of, what I think that's what's so frustrating is that even despite all that their flaws, like there was some like romance to it, to the way that they were trying to somehow win and failing, because it was these guys who've been together for so long. And that's, I think that's part of what's really so depressing here. And it'll get better, I'm sure, by the time we talk again on Sunday. You know, things will be a little bit easier to stomach. But, you know, you it's so annoying to see a group of guys who, like, deserve, and a team that is built in that way, like that all for one for all, kind of what sports are all about. You and your buddies playing for the team, understanding the kind of cultural impact of a team and the community that you represent. And it's almost very amateur-ish, like the sports in like the 1880s or over in like Ireland, like Gaelic football teams playing for their town and whatever. Like the Islanders were almost like that kind of, they almost had that thread running through them. Like, this amateur team, and you, the fact that it ends in all likelihood, this era kind of ends on these cruel bounces is what is on my mind more than even just like the roster flaws, because those were there all, they've been there all along, right? Like they've been there for 3 years now. We've watched this team struggle to score, struggle on one half of the special teams battle. It's been like that for quite a bit.
But at the same time losing their defensive identity that was so important for the previous 3 years, the preceding 3 years.
So that's what's so that's eating me a little inside. It's like the fact that in all likelihood, like Matt Martin, who wasn't even on the ice, like had to watch that those bounces would be like, well, what a fitting end to my career as a New York Islander in all likelihood that, all of this led to that, all the hits, all the kind of underdog wins and disappointing losses and all that, like that all ends via that. That is to me, that's the cruel part. Like, I think everybody can come in and be like, this team just wasn't good enough, and they weren't good enough, and they played against a team that was better than them. I think that's part of the reason why there were so many, they struggled with the puck on their stick because they had to move it so quickly. Otherwise, the Hurricanes right on them, and but they still found a way to drag to get into the playoffs and play this Hurricanes team to a tight series and. Still found a way to make it hurt, right? Like the Washington Capitals just got smoked by the Rangers. That didn't hurt. Like, of course it hurts for fans because your season ends and losing in the playoffs sucks, and I'm sure the individual games hurt. But like in the big picture, the team, you got crushed. Like there's nothing else you can really say. Whereas that was painful. And and as I keep saying, like the other thing that's keeping me up here is like the Hurricanes needed so much good fortune to beat us in five games. They're not gonna get that against the Rangers, and we need them to. Like, they the only the only way this becomes sort of palatable is if you continue, if you get better. Like all spring since this trade deadline, all we heard was the Hurricanes are going to be an absolute beast with Jake Guentzel. What did he do this series? Nothing. Like the Islanders,
one goal. That was it.
He had an empty netter, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He had an empty netter. Like Aho had a couple goals.
Svechnikov. He scored tonight. That was it.
His first goal. Right? He had a couple assists before that, but like, guys, like you guys can do your cute little storm surge and the social media stuff. I don't care. Like, the stuff doesn't bother me at all on a personal level. But what does bother me is it sends off this kind of, oh my God, look what we just accomplished by beating the New York Islanders, who had Hudson Fashing on their second line. And we needed a bounce off of,
right.
We needed to score on two separate times this series. We need to score two goals in less than 10 seconds to beat them.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that against the Rangers. So fucking batten down the hatches and get better. If you're going to beat us like this in this incredibly sick, twisted way, the least you could do is beat the Rangers, right? So that's the other thing here that's maybe eating me up a bit.
This was your nightmare, was having to now root for the Hurricanes to beat the Rangers. And I'm going to throw an additional nightmare on top of that at no extra cost. The Leafs won tonight, which robbed us all of a ton of fun. On Wednesday, as they would have lost, and hopefully the Bruins can, you know, snap out of it and win a game in Toronto, I guess, on Thursday. That also sucked. But here is my favorite thing about this loss, and this is the one silver lining that I have found, again, ahead of a summer of consternation and worry and you know, changes possibly coming. Here's the best part. I don't have to watch the Hurricanes anymore. I don't. If you want to watch them play the Rangers in the next round, that's on you. I will not be. And I am not going to miss these guys one bit. I do not want to watch them play. I don't enjoy watching them play. I don't find their antics funny. Call me an old man. I don't care. I don't like this team. And I don't think that they have the stuff to beat the Rangers, to be honest with you. I don't think they have the stuff to beat the Bruins or Panthers, who have gone on, obviously, after beating the Lightning. But who knows? I mean, again, they had to work awfully hard to beat the Islanders and get a lot of bounces to beat a team that we saw all year long be very, 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 very flawed to the point where they almost missed the damn playoffs because they lost six games in a row 3 weeks before the playoffs started. So, you know, I don't know if there's been this many emotions. I don't know if I had this many emotions last year. Like, I'm trying to think of after they lost last year, it was like, yeah, that season was kind of wild, but you know what? New coach, kind of a transitional period. Right. They made it a series. You know, they lost in overtime on a weird bounce. Again, weird.
They had a lot of free agents too. Like, so you're like kind of automatically like thinking into that.
Right. Yeah. We talked about maybe losing Scott Mayfield and Engvall and all these other guys. And so again, weird bounce in the deciding game costed basically the series. And I don't know if I was hopeful, but I was certainly not as conflicted as I am right now. You know, let's put it that way. And that last summer sucked, and here we are. And so, I don't know. Something's got, again, I don't want to get too far into the off season. We're going to have a lot of time to talk about it starting on Sunday. We're going to come back at our normal time and there'll be a regular episode. And then we'll probably alternate, like we did last year, anxiety, weird Islanders, so on and so forth, somehow, some way, you know, barring any kind of news or anything like that. I wonder what happens to Lou Lamoriello, though, you know, from here on out. I mean, they're going to have a couple of days, I guess, probably clean out day, I guess, will be Thursday. So we'll have to see. Patrick Waugh already did his press thing. He called his team resilient, as you pointed out before. He loves that word. I mean, that's it. We weren't sure if we even wanted to watch this team make the playoffs because it was such a hard season. They made it. We were excited. They, you know, did it in such a way that, you know, they went into the playoffs about as hot as you could possibly get. And that got cooled off really quickly. And this, despite showing a lot of effort, and I got to say, I don't think effort is really the problem with this team. They want to win. I just don't think they have it anymore. They have put all of their eggs. They've had all their eggs in this basket for so long that they need a whole bunch of new eggs. I don't know if that's a way to put it. Like, and I get it. Like, you know, they're not as stale as people might have you think. There have been changes. Obviously Bo Horvat is still fairly new and Engvall and a few other guys as well. Maybe Riley stays, but it's not so much the people, it's it's the game plan and the bad habits that need to be broken. Like, if these guys come back and don't fall into the same bad habits, then maybe it's okay. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen, but
yeah,
we'll have to see. Well,
yeah. We won't know. And it felt like they were starting to play better. Obviously, like, they went on a good run to close out the season. And I thought that they played fine considering the opponent for most of this series. But like you said, like, they just didn't have enough. Like, they just don't have enough outside of Barzell and Horvat. Like, they just don't have that guy to take over a game. And
but even when they play well, and I mean, Barzell was a monster all series long.
Yeah.
What comes of it? Like, he skates around just, and that's it.
Then he gets off the ice and here comes second line Hudson Fashing, right? Like, he's playing out of his depth, right? Like, it's not his fault.
I mean, the two best forwards for the Islanders in this entire series were Barzell and Kyle MacLean.
Right.
Like, they were the two best ones, period, hands down. Yep. I mean, maybe you throw Horvat and Cizikas, but not really. I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's like, and then you get what's so funny too is, as we kind of go into the off season, I'm sure we'll have this discussion further. Like, the guys who had starkly disappointing seasons played well in this series too. So you're like, maybe Anders Lee has more to give.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute, I can't think, like, I need to, like, we need to think. But it's so funny how they fool you. And even watching Cal Clutterbuck, like, at the end of the game, I'm sitting here thinking, just bring him back. I just love him too much. You know, like, I don't want this to be it for Cal Clutterbuck. He deserves better. He deserves so much better than watching, having the Carolina Hurricane fans, like, blare a horn, at him as the season ends. And, but, like, the truth is, like, the Islanders are probably need to move on from thinking that way. And I'll have to get over it on my own accord. And, it's just tough because it felt like a really cruel way for what will be the end of an era for a few players. I mean, who knows if it felt like Butch might not be back, and that would crush me. So it's just it's really not a fun night to be a New York Islander. Like, most of the nights this season haven't been fun. It's just not. They haven't been fun. True. There have been some great nights. There are some fun weeks and whatever. But for the most part, the majority of the time this season has been not fun, but in a different way. That was just, it just drove you nuts. This is just, it just, you just feel empty a little bit. And, it's now you got to get through. As I always like to say, one of the reasons when people are like, I just want them to sell at the deadline. I don't want them to make the playoffs and get blown out. And I always say, like, you have an entire baseball season between now and the next important New York Islander season, a New York Islander game. So just remember that when you're like, I just want them to pull the chute and give up on the season. Or when you're like, I'm not that mad that they lost, like, they were never going to win. Well, like, now we have a whole summer where an entire baseball season where the Islanders don't play. So, it's not fun to not have them around, as nuts as they drive us.
and they do drive us nuts. One last thing I'll mention about the game before we sign off. I don't know if you caught how much of the handshake that you caught. Obviously, there was a focus on Clutterbuck, but I don't know if you noticed a bunch of guys hanging around while the Hurricanes kind of, I guess, waved at the crowd or took a victory lap and skated around. And there was a bit more lingering before they got off the ice, and Barzell in particular was like looking over at Carolina and obviously looked very upset. And then he skated off the ice and he gave Anders Lee sort of a half-hearted, knuckle wrap with the fingers, a bump with the hand, and skated off. And I just thought, man, these guys are really kind of like trying to take it in. And I think that's a signal that they know that there will be changes, or they want to be changes, or, like we said off the top, they just know that there might have been just something there that they left on the table. It wasn't an effort thing. It was just it could have been a lot closer than it was a lot closer than it seemed, I guess is how I'm going to say it. But I think everybody probably says that after a 5-game loss. But I don't know. Did you catch that? Like the kind of hanging around?
Yeah. I mean, that was part of what got me. And like that.
Yeah.
It's the look on. I mean, Clutterbuck was the one I was like, oh,
yes.
God. You know, that was just, he was out there for like the end. And so, but yeah, you know, it kind of brings you back to like that scene with Zach Parise last year.
Right.
In like the locker room and,
right.
And to thinking about Butch, like Butch was crying at the end and, which was tough to handle too. Like he's kind of the part of the furniture, of course. And, but he did say something, and this is to your point, throughout this entire episode, which was, you know, they have a big summer coming up. Like they have to find a way to not have to wait till the last game of the season to qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah. So,
like, this is, it's just so great that now Butch is saying it. We've heard Matt Barzell say it.
Right.
So, it's, hopefully that does come to fruition, because I'm just so sick of it.
I know. I'm sick of this too. I'm sick of it too. That's what I was trying to get at. I'm just sick of it. But you know, it is funny that, You're right. You're 100% right. I did hear Butch say that. And it's so funny that we started the season with Matt Barzell saying that, and we're ending the season with Butch Gordon saying that, you know, after watching this whole season. And they have to. That's the reality of it. They can't live on the margins anymore. The vibes, the margins, they have to be done with. This has to be a team that pushes and is assertive and takes what they need to take when they need to take. And we can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I think we can call this a night. Remember to sign up at patreon.com/islandersanxiety for ad-free episodes, bonus content, and all that stuff all summer long. So don't think that just because the season is over, we're going to stop doing that stuff. It's happening at the Patreon all off-season. We did it last year. We're going to do it again this year. So sign up, patreon.com/islandersanxiety. Read Lighthouse Hockey, obviously, every single day. Shop vintageicehockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. Our theme song is Morning Haze by Family Dinner. Find us everywhere you find your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Isles Anxiety Pod. Mike, any final thoughts? Where can everybody find you on Twitter, first of all?
The Big Lebowski with 2 E's.
Follow Mike at The Big Lebowski. Read and listen to his work at Action Network. I mean, we've kind of laid it all out here, but any final thoughts on Game 5, loss to the Hurricanes, and this series in general?
It's just, I think, an appropriately cruel ending for a franchise that has the market cornered right now on cruel ending. So
yeah,
and just weirdly cruel bounces. So none of this should be surprising. It felt like, you know, the season was destined to end in a way that was either just euphoric or befitting of the entire season. And we all should have known that it would have been the latter. Now we just have to go into full hater mode. So it'll take a little while for this to shake this one off. And then it's Schadenfreude season.
Yeah. And listen, if you're not into full hater mode, that's okay. Because sometimes, you know, that we're not into that. You can just go complete radio silence, because I think that's what I'm going to do. Just radio silence. We'll see. But we'll be back again on Sunday, starting to look at the off season, and condolences to Islanders fan Liam McHugh, who may or may not have to get a tattoo now because he made a bet with Paul Bissonnette. And I got to try to get him on Weird Islanders next season. We'll see. But so it could always be worse. We'll see. But thanks for listening all season long and tonight, and we'll be back again in a few days to start looking ahead at the future. All right. Thanks again. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.